Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who today continues to unwrap for us that marvelous gift he gave us at Christmas, lying in the manger. I read again these words from today's gospel lesson I'd like to focus on. The next day, John saw Jesus coming and said to him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Last Friday morning in chapel, I asked the kids how many of them had a good Christmas. Their hands went up, and I said, "Were you excited when your mom and dad let you rip open all those presents?" And you could see the smiles on the kids. You could almost feel the energy, you know, in the room as they thought back. And I remember as a kid seeing all those gifts piled around the tree. I couldn't wait for Christmas Eve when my mom and dad would start to hand out the gifts. We could rip into them and see what we got. And then you'd hear the shrieks once in a while of kids saying, "That's just what I wanted. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad." Well, that's what Epiphany is all about. That's what Epiphany is all about. It's about God unwrapping for us the marvelous gift he gave us at Christmas. Or as we put it in the preface that you'll hear sung in a few moments or spoken, what had been hidden from the foundation of the world, God has now displayed it, namely his son Jesus. You know, this gift that God gave us at Christmas didn't look like too much. Really, we're kind of surprised everybody got so excited about it. A little baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. I mean, everybody's excited about a baby. You're excited about your baby. We all are. But that the whole world should come to see this baby and worship him? I mean, what were the shepherds thinking? They come on Christmas, leave their sheep behind like irresponsible children. They should have stayed with their sheep, but they leave them behind. They come to see this gift. Then you have the wise man who spent a lot of money and gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they travel many, many miles to come. And St. Matthew says they worship the baby, a word you may remember from Epiphany Day that Matthew uses only for God. They worshiped the baby, which means they understood he is God. And we wonder about this worshiping of the baby. But yet last Sunday, God started to unwrap that gift for us. And we discovered something, if we didn't know already, that this gift is a marvelous gift, one that should indeed excite the entire world. For this is not and was not just a little baby in the manger. This was God. As the angel says, or as God says at Jesus' baptism, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him. You listen to it." In that little baby born in Bethlehem, God manifested the fullness of his glory, as you'll hear in the preface again before communion this morning. And that's what Epiphany is all about. As St. Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested, displayed in the flesh." Yeah, great is the mystery of godliness. There should be nothing that excites us more. And this Epiphany season, to see God unwrapping for us this marvelous gift and to realize that your name is on the tag. It's God's gift to you for your salvation. This morning, of course, we are given another great epiphany or manifestation of God's glory, in that we not only learn today who this baby is, he is the glorious Son of God, but now God gives us another insight into this Christmas gift. Why he came, what his work is. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, if you are not aware of it or don't admit it, you are guilty before God by nature. You are under the wrath and eternal judgment of God were he to leave you in the state in which you were conceived and born. Christmas, of course, is an exciting event for us. It's exciting because we hope to get something we ask for, something we need. If we don't need anything, then we're probably not that excited about Christmas. And we won't be excited either about God's great Christmas gift of his Son, unless we realize our desperate need for what he put in the manger for us, his own Son. We all have a great debt of sin that we cannot take care of ourselves. You know, we all deal with guilt. I do. Maybe I'm the only one. I doubt it. We look back on life and we regret things we said or things we didn't say. We regret things we did or we didn't do. The older we get, you know, even though we try to be good parents, we always wish if I could go back and do it again, I might do this a little differently or that a little differently. We regret a time we lost our temper and shouted at our wife or husband, sassed off to our parents. I was thinking about the other day, my mother and father, great parents, have been dead for several years. I really regret some of the things I said to my folks when I was younger. Some of the things I didn't tell them that I wish I could tell them now, as I'm an older parent myself and a grandparent. I wish I could thank them for all that. I can't go back. That's what life is like, isn't it? We wish we could, but we can't. And as Christians, our disregard and our taking for granted this great gift of God's Son is shameful when you think about it. We get more excited about our portfolio than we do about God giving us His Son. For pity's sake, what are we thinking? When we die, you won't take your money with you. We all know that. You can't take it with you. Naked you are, naked you will go back, God says about Job, and that's true for every one of us. The only thing that will matter is that God give us the gift of salvation through His Son. But whether we are going to admit our guilt or our regret about our sins, whether we're going to admit it or not, whether you are willing to agree with God that we are indeed sinners before God, that does not change the fact. God's law condemns every one of us in one way or another. We have violated His righteous demands again and again and again and again. It's amazing we don't wilt with shame when we read the Ten Commandments in God's law. How shameful our lives have been, how God must be totally disappointed in us very often. All have sinned, the Bible says. That's you and me. All have sinned and fallen far short of what God expected of us, of His glory. And we can't do anything about it. And so St. Paul concludes, none is righteous, not even one. All have turned aside. We do too. We turn aside in our own direction. We do what we want to do. We have our agenda. We get upset when our agenda doesn't turn out the way we thought it should. We even blame God for it. No one does good, not even one. And of course, whether we want to admit all this or not, we sadly know that we will all suffer the consequences of our sins sooner or later. For death passed to all people, the Bible says, for all have sinned. We're all going to die sooner or later. We're all going to get sick. That little child who looks so happy and healthy and innocent now is going to die too. Sorry, parents. It's going to happen. Hopefully after you're dead and gone, because you will too. And all of us, it's the same for all of us, because we are sinners. And those churches that don't baptize babies as we did here today because they claim that little babies are not accountable to God yet, what are they thinking? Little babies also get sick. Little babies can die. Many do. Not all of them, but it's very random. Just like for teenagers or middle-aged people or old people. Not everybody dies at the same time, but we all do, and we all will, for all have sinned. But in the face of all this, God has a gift for us. And that's why we should be so excited at this Epiphany time, as God unwraps this Christmas gift, tears off the wrapping. And we say, oh my gosh, it's just what we needed. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away all your guilt, all your sin, and rescues you from the consequences of your guilt and sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. Again, I don't care who you are. I say this all the time. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how guilty you feel, how ashamed you are, hoping to God nobody finds out what you're really like. I don't care about all that. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if He takes it away, it's not on you anymore. Why a lamb? Well, we know that. You got to go back to the Old Testament. Oh my gosh, day after day, month after month, year after year, hundreds and hundreds of innocent lambs under a year old, no blemishes, were brought before the high priest or one of the priests, and they would transfer the guilt of the nation over onto that innocent lamb. Very gruesome and gory procedure. And the priest would then slit the throat. And as the blood pulsated out, he would catch it in a bowl and sprinkle it out on the people or on the altar. And he would say, here's the life that God has demanded for you. Behold the Lamb who takes away your sin. Go now in peace. You are free. And I can just see the people going, shoo. I'm glad that was the Lamb's throat slit and not mine. The Holy Writer, of course, reminds us that these animals could not take away sins. He writes, this was all a shadow of better things to come. Jesus is not another Lamb of God. He is, as John rightly says, the Lamb of God. And every Good Friday we read in anticipation as Isaiah describes the work of this Lamb of God who would come to the world, that he is like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, he opens not his mouth. We see the Lord Jesus on trial before Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas, silently standing there, enduring their ridicule, enduring their blasphemy against him. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't lash out. He doesn't swear at them like most people might do. He quietly assumes the guilt and the punishment, the humiliation. The prophet says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. On him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds we are healed. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Your iniquity, all of it, and mine, laid on Jesus some 2,000 years ago. And Jesus suffered the punishment we should deserve, the full wrath and anger of God. He was truly damned by God in your place so that you could be free. And so for Jesus' sake, St. John is telling us that God has declared the entire world not guilty. Listen to what St. Paul writes. Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. Or St. Peter writes, you have been ransomed with the blood of Jesus, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the blood of Jesus, you have been redeemed from your futile way of life. We recognize those words because Martin Luther picks it up in the Small Catechism, doesn't he? The heart of our Lutheran faith. I believe that Jesus Christ, who is true God, begotten of the Father forever, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary in time, that's my Lord. He has redeemed me, bought me, and purchased me, not with silver and gold, stocks and bonds, with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. Redeem me, a poor, miserable, the new translation says person, that's too politically correct. The old translation said, based on the German, a poor, miserable creature. That's what we are, creatures, little wormy type things, crawling around, thinking we're special. We're not any more special than anybody else. And yet we are bigoted, we are racist, we put down other people, we think we're better. No, we're not. He has redeemed all us, cut from the same cloth, poor, miserable creatures, paid our debt, and therefore we have been declared not guilty. John today still points us to Jesus as the Lamb of God to take away our sins every Sunday. As we come up to this altar here, and the minister sets aside common things like bread and wine, with Jesus' own word, this is my body, this is my blood. And then an amazing thing happens. As amazing as it was that baby that Mary conceived was fully and completely, not symbolically, but really and truly was the eternal Son of God she carried in her womb and laid him in the manger, so truly is the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus' word is clear again, take, eat. This is my body given for you, whoever you are, whatever you've done. And this is my blood, drink of it. It's shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. And then the pastor holds out the consecrated bread and wine before the congregation. And he sings out to the congregation those words that the risen Lord told his disciples on Easter night. The peace of the Lord be with you. The war is over. You are free. There is no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The peace of the Lord be with you. And the congregation responds, amen. You got that right. That's the way it is. And so as God unwraps for us his Christmas gift this Epiphany season, and that's what Epiphany is all about. It's God unwrapping the gift, and we explore this thing and reflect on the marvelous gift of Christmas. Let us prepare to enjoy this epiphany of God's grace and favor today, as the Lord Jesus will come before us in the bread and the wine of his Holy Supper, and we will hear John crying out to us through our mouths and our lips as we sing his words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." For the body of the Lamb we eat, we sing in one of our hymns, a priestly food and priestly meat. On sin-parched lips the chalice pours his quenching blood that life restores. And so with cherubim and seraphim, our voices join the endless hymn as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy to Christ, God's Lamb, our priest and king." I was going to end here, but there's one last little thought in this text. I didn't want to miss it. I don't know if you heard it. How at the end of the story, Andrew, one of the disciples, finds Jesus as the Messiah, and he's so excited about this great gift that God has given, he's got to tell his brother. And he runs off and finds his brother, and guess who that is? Simon Peter. Just think how what would have happened to the church had Andrew not gone there and found his brother and said to him, "We have found the Christ, the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. What about you? Is there anybody you know who doesn't yet trust in the Lord Jesus? Maybe a husband, your wife, your children, grandchildren, a neighbor, a colleague at work, maybe somebody at school you go with every day. Maybe they need to know that they have a gift too. For Jesus is the Lamb of God to take away not just the sins of members of St. John's Lutheran Church. He is the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. We have a special guest with us today, way back in the back, Pastor Wakoma. If you'd like to stand, he's preached here before. He is from Nigeria. He, by the way, is one of our mission projects in our congregation. Now you see him. Now you know what to give to. What a tough ministry they have in Nigeria. Christians being persecuted, often beheaded, simply for doing or trying to do what we're doing here today. How will they hear the good news that we take so much for granted if we don't open up our wallets once in a while and contribute to men like that? Because you're not going to Nigeria. He is, but he needs our support, prayers, our financial support. And I hope that you might, in the weeks to come, consider supporting more generously Pastor Wakoma. My nephew, David Preuss, is in the Dominican Republic trying to establish a seminary. Some of our other great mission projects in the church. Well, how can they hear unless somebody preaches? And how can they preach unless somebody's sent? And I'm going to paraphrase Paul here a little bit or add something. And how can they preach unless somebody pays for it? That's you and that's me. May God grant that we might have a sincere love and passion for this wonderful gift God has given us and share it with as many people as we can. We wish Pastor Wakoma and his congregations there in Nigeria God's rich blessings and peace. May God continue to pour out on him the Holy Spirit and grant him real success in his ministry as he takes the precious gospel of Lord Jesus to many poor, superstitious souls in Nigeria. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God grant it. Let us join together now and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Please rise.